March and just got back the first part of April in Peru. They have been building churches and a network of churches for the last almost 17 years, since about 1998. So they have, I believe they've been doing what we're just talking about, and I want you to hear some of the sound of that. And then Stephen Shirley Kwan just got back from Thailand, who spent the last almost 3 months there, and that's kind of a phenomenon of also that when God starts to do something, he starts to do a repetitive movement. Many people, many places, going to same people, going to many places, and there starts to become a, like Paul and Silas's missionary journeys, they would tend to hit the same cities again and again and again and again, because you build agreement. So I want you to hear from them tonight. But Psalm 126, please. This is a song of ascent. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing, and they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. So the kind of thing that God does is, it's like, can a nation be saved in a day? When he turns captivity, when he shifts a people, whether it's a family, a neighborhood, or a nation, it's like a dream. You know, we've all been practicing holding our imagination in a good way. But I'm looking forward to the day when what God is doing in my reality is so wild that I think I must be dreaming. Yeah. And that happens in the Bible, so it's going to happen again, and it can happen for us. And then it says, we were filled with laughter. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. So there's just a sound of jubilation. The ransom of the Lord returned with singing, and the sorrow and sighing flee away, and joy and laughter. It's just Isaiah 35. And then he says, it begins to be a recognizable phenomenon. The turning of captivity, the second part of our restoration of this resurrection inheritance, healing, now returning, is one that people begin to recognize it, and they say the Lord's done great things for them. And we say the Lord's done great things for us, and we are glad. And that's a sound when it hits a generation of people, it's just a powerful thing. It's powerful. And John Klein shared on Sunday morning how the increase of miracles is happening just in where he's going. It's like everything just starts growing. And I'm here to say that that's to happen on all of our lives. In every situation, wherever we are, we're going to start seeing this cause to be glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Verse 5. For those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. So one thing just to be encouraged is don't despise the day of small beginning, and don't disengage intense prayer. Keep your prayer really alive. Now's the time just to start saying, Lord God, I really know you are more than able to perform that promise you made to me. And I'm going to press even a little more intentionally in that place, not trying to control or manipulate, but just in desperate receiving and recognizing you and you alone can bring the increase. But I want, and I know you can, I know you want to. Because here's the promise. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So I believe verse 6 is tied to verse 1. So the verse 1 is the fruit of verse 6. So when the prayer continues all the way in that fashion of continually going forth, sowing the seed, bearing, weeping, then there comes a point where the fruit of it starts to become, and the Lord turned to captivity. And we can let God expand it as big as he wants, because he's not limited to what we can think. He's limited to the power that's within. And that's an unlimited force. So one last thing. Isaiah 43, about verse 13 or 14. And then, Guillermo, would you come on up? And Stephen Shirley, we're going to just sit down and then let you guys share the rest of the time, because you are, I want to, we want to, I want us to, this is a practice toward what we're going to do next week. And the reason, come on up, please. Yeah, please. Guillermo and I will sit over here. You guys get to sit over there. The reason I want, when I hear something happening through Stephen Shirley in Thailand or in a restoration ministry meeting, that's for me too. And whatever they succeed in doing is for me to succeed and expect. Same with Guillermo and Graciela, whether it's Peru or Channel of Blessings on Wednesdays or Sunday mornings. So you guys have a mic, I have a mic. And I'm just going to let you start, Guillermo.
Well, it's very interesting that scripture about Jeremiah 33:7. That say that God is going to bring the people from Judah and the people from the north, which is the Israelites. Judah was dispersed by Babylonia and the Israelites by Assyria. But something interesting, actually, the church have to know that who is going to do the work in order to that happen is the Gentile church. And I'd like you to have Romans 11:25. Could you have Romans 11:25? Then yes, that's key scripture, you know. Why? Because God's plan in the Bible from the beginning to the end, up to the millennium, is including the Jews. Without the Jews will not be, you know, the rapture, the tribulations, the millennium, which everybody is looking forward. And actually, that's what we're doing in Peru. It's very, very little known about Israel, about the Jews in the churches. I will say all over the world. And I begin to understand now why God sent us to Israel in the celebration of the Pesach, which is very much the Passover, but the Jewish Passover, which is the Bible Passover, to Israel in 2014. The Lord sent us, and he told us, go out, not first to Jerusalem, but go to outside of Jerusalem. We went to Ashkelon. And he really helped us, and he made connections so fast, so quick, for us to just go, you know, in Israel from north to south, east to west, completely. We were visiting all the frontiers, and we begin all places, you know, tours never bring it to you. From there, the Lord began to tell us the importance of Israel for the Gentile church. Then God says he's going to bring, you know, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Israel that was dispersed, you know, back in the Old Testament. And he's going to use the Gentiles. How? That's the promise in Romans 11:25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, the mystery of the blindness of the Jews. That you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. That is what God may happen in order for the Gentiles coming into the kingdom. Say, in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I meditate in this scripture for months, years. When is the fullness of the Gentiles? Is when the Gentiles is full of the Bible, connected with the Holy Spirit, who's going to give all the instructions to the Gentile church. What is the mission they will have to bring the people from Judah and Israel back to know their Messiah. And that's been the heart of Jesus. And you know, that's what we're doing in Peru, you know, basically. Science 2014, very strong. And I didn't know, 3 years, I've been buying a lot of Jewish material. When I begin to collecting in my house, I highlight 15, 20 books relating Jewish, you know. And wow, I begin to read all those. And this is very much what, you know, we are doing in Peru. To have a church is very easy. I'll say in a way that you have the church, you feed the church, and so on and so forth. Now, and the Lord told us something else. Now, you have to get all these dispersed churches with different denominations in Peru to begin to come in unity. Because the Alliance Missionary doesn't want nothing to do with nobody. The Assemblies of God is saying. And every other churches, they do their own things, and they very much, you know, I got to say, bring unity to all these churches. I mean, that's a giant task. Bring unity to the churches. Yes? Yeah. And also, the Lord tell us, okay, now bring not only unity, but all the churches, they have to work for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, for my kingdom. Because every church is working for their own kingdom. Okay, yes, you know, they have a church, great, they're working hard, 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 yes. Now they begin to call it my church. And the Bible say, it's not your church, it's my church. And all the people in the church, they are belong to me, said Jesus. Don't belong to the pastor, don't belong to nobody. Then bring unity between the churches and have them to realize they have to work in the kingdom. And they have to realize that Israel is very important. I venture to say that I'm perhaps 98% positive to say that 99% of the Christian churches in Peru, which I know very well, they know very little about Israel, about the Jews, very little. And here we have like 27 churches we work, you know, Spanish and English speaking churches in Channel Blessings. And very much everybody don't have much of an idea about Israel. And the other thing is they are not interested to hear about it. The goal from God, look in the scripture, is to use the Gentile church to bring back the Jews into the kingdom. And that was the heart of Jesus too. Let's see the scripture, and the Lord give me a revelation, so many scriptures. The book of John 17:20. You let me know when to stop.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when Jesus began his ministry, he was very clear. I came for the Jews. When that woman came and said, you know, heal my son. Jesus said, you know, I didn't came for nobody, but for the Jews only. Then he said, yes, but, you know, please just, some of the, we are dogs, yes, but, you know, get some of the crabs, you know. Give me a little bit of your power, of your mercy. But God was very emphatic. I came for the Jews. Then Jesus came for all this population, which is the Jews. But also Jesus, have in mind, there is another one, is the Gentile church. Then he knew that he's concentrated first on the Jews. And for instance, you know, of course, you know, it's good to read, you know, for in the context, you know, scripture before and after. Jesus said, I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Then Jesus said, I'm going to teach the gospel of the scriptures first to the Jews. I do not pray for the Jews alone, but also for the Gentiles who will believe in me through the teaching of the Jews to the Gentiles. I read the scripture, I don't know, dozens, hundreds of times. Everybody says unity is unity. Yeah, but Jesus says unity in between two people.
So am I on now?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you're working with the churches in Peru, that's become really literally an important thing to try to have them value God's covenant to be fulfilled with Israel.
Right, that's what I say. They know almost nothing about that. And also they say, we don't have nothing to do with the Jews, and they believe so strongly in the theory of the displacement on the Jews, not always just to be the whole. It's the church is going to be the whole. Even the denominations, I'm talking with the president of the denomination, which have like 200-300 churches in Peru, they say, no, you know, we don't have nothing to do with the Jews and so on.
What was your
forth.
Last, you know, this last time you guys were gone for over a month, what did you guys accomplish, or what were your focus, what were you trying to do?
Okay, that's the goal, the task. Now, how do you do? To do in one church is easy. I go in one church, I teach it, then stay there or so. But now I have to have interested, you know, a number of churches. Then Graciela has been working with the women's for the past almost 12, 15 years in Peru, trying to bring unity to the pastors' wives and pastors' women's in the church. You know, Graciela, my wife, is over there. Everybody knows, I'm sure. Well, we kind of tired for China, obviously. We finished at 4 o'clock or so. I took a nap. I almost believe sleeping through now, you know. I have to work. Anyway, the Lord commanded, everything is happening, is the Lord commanded. The Lord said, bring unity into the pastor wives and, you know, pastors of churches, women, to use them to really begin to bring this unity into the churches. And yes, we have maybe, 12, 15 denominations. And this last trip, almost in the last 10 days, the Lord say, now, you know, you are kind of dispersed. You know, you meet, you know, in one church 1 month, you know, the next month in a different church. We don't have a location. Now you have to have your own location, your own place. Then it's amazing how God opened the doors for us to enter in the downtown Trujillo, which for churches who come in per se, you know, from, I'm going to say like Camarillo, from Los Angeles, from Saticoy, from Oxnard, from El Rio, from Santa Barbara or so, they will be easy for them to come in into this one location. Like, you know, if Camarillo will be the center, you know, of operations or so, then rent the place. But when the Lord wants to do something, he does quick. He opened the doors, and we found a fantastic, good place in downtown, in the commercial center. And the price is unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable, affordable, you know, by the spouses. The inauguration was done in March 8th. That we were already, well, we rent the place, and the women want to do the inauguration. They ask Graciela, you have to come in for the inauguration. Okay. We filled with almost 70 chairs, and 60 were full of these women. And they are going to be the ones are going to bring more unity into the churches and more open for us to go and talk on this message.
Okay.
About, you know, the responsibility given by God to the churches in order to, yes, work with the Israel and the Jews, which we don't know anything.
Great. I want to ask you guys, you just were in Thailand, and you've been there for, this was your third trip?
Third trip, yeah.
So, and you had an interesting vision. Just tell us what happened and what you guys were doing.
Okay, I'll do that, Pastor Steve. But what I wanted to do was, I wanted to say that, as we all know, we all see in part, but God sees in full. And I'd like to show you what God saw years ago. And so, Sam, could you maybe put on that first picture? And And this is what God saw. And it's going to really tickle your heart when you see it. That is a picture, 2004. And that is in Lima, Peru. Shirley and myself are on the right. Pastor Guillermo and Graciela are there. That is in a gymnasium that that Pastor Guillermo found for us to give our first freedom encounter outside of the U.S. And it was a cold, rainy day. And but I just found that picture, and I said, Lord, how is it that he always establishes partnerships? Now, to be fair about this, I need to show the next picture, Pastor Steve.
Okay.
So Sam could go. So there's Pastor Steve with us too. So when I saw that the four of us are going to be sitting up here, I just smiled to myself. I said, Lord, you really know how to establish partnerships.
Yeah.
And that was in, I believe, Trujillo,
Chicama,
I'm sorry, where Pastor Robin used to be, or maybe still is. And we did ministry there with Pastor Steve. And then I found this other picture I think was really, let's go on to the third one, Sam. Okay, now, in that picture, do you see anyone with Cammie's jeans? Yeah, that is David, their second oldest son, who was 12 at that time. And he was just a joy to have with us, and he just really related to the kids. But here we are now in 2016, another part of the world taking the restoration ministry.
That's even earlier. Year 2000, that's all began in Taiwan. Pastor Steve, Steve and myself, and Pastor Guillermo, we start year 2000.
Yeah, and we had our two daughters too. Heidi.
Yeah, so you're seeing living history up here on the stage of what God has been doing, and I was just saying to Shirley the other day, it says, you know, we're so thankful that Jubilee has been our manger, just like the manger in Bethlehem was the birthplace for Jesus. This has been the birthplace for restoration ministry, which is a mending ministry. And by that I mean, Sam, if you could put up the first verse, I think it's Mark 5:8. It kind of summarizes what our ministry is. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Luke 5:2. Luke 5:2. Got him mixed up. This is Jesus speaking, and it kind of summarizes our ministry. It says, Jesus saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. And so the whole focus for me is the nets and the washing of the nets, because nets needed to be washed in order to be ready to fish, to be cast. If you didn't take care of them, they'd get holes. And what the Lord was saying to me is that the nets represent people's lives that need to be mended in order to be cast and to do what they were supposed to do in God's greater kingdom. So that is, you know, short summary, that is what restoration ministry is about. We have gone to Thailand because Pastor Steve cut the path for us years before us, and he made contact with a church that we have been focused in on, which is Living Streams, where Pastor Kang Sing Chi pastors. And for us, it has just been such a wonderful experience to be on one Sunday here listening to what is happening here, and 20 hours later in the week, we're on the other side of the world seeing how it is being manifested in the church there. I don't know if even Pastor Steve realizes how much influence the spiritual teaching here at Jubilee has had effect on their church there. Their church is not like our church. It is it's a younger church that is called to evangelism, basically, apostolic church, growing really, really fast, which sounds so great, except that not everybody grows fast. And so it stretches the church out to those that are leading and those that are trying to catch up, and there's not much time to do anything else. And so their nets get stretched, and they need it to be mended. So in God's wisdom, he has sent Shirley and myself there three times to that church to take the mending restoration ministry there and to teach it. And we're just so amazed that it has been received so well that it has become a part of their school of teaching there. They have what we would call equivalent to our school of transformation that Becky was running for several years here. And they run a school there, which is called the Kingdom Leadership Institute, School of Transformation, where people sign up for a couple of years. And they go through sets of teachings from speakers and so on, and on different aspects of the church and personal growth and so on. And Jubilee is inserted in all of that through Larry's doing the works of Jesus. He's part of that whole set of videos as well as our teaching there. I don't know. And Pastor Steve, yes, as well. Yes. Oh, yeah, totally. He is well known. I mean, when we say Pastor Steve, they know exactly who we're talking about. I believe Larry's material, as well as our material, has been fully translated into Thai. And what we found out going this time was that... even in our absence, Holy Spirit is still working. Holy Spirit has taken that material and worked it like the yeast into the dough, into people's lives, into leadership, into their planet churches. Mm-hmm. It's gone through people who have actually gone out themselves to other countries. Including Nepal, to Malaysia, not us, yeah. Holy Spirit and other people. The last one we heard was that it was taken into Sydney, Australia.
Wow.
And, you know, it just reminds me that the Bible speaks about that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. And the wind comes and goes and no one knows where.
Yeah.
But so it is with things of the Spirit.
Well, before, we have about 10 minutes, so can you let Shirley have her moment to share? And then I want all three of you to pray and for us to pull on something that you heard that's to transfer to us individually and as a church.
Well, I think that when I got to know that Pastor Steve wants to talk about the freedom from captivity, I thought, well, maybe what I will give some solid testimonies of these people, how they're being transferred from kingdom of darkness captivity into freedom, into new awakening, new life. Because the testimony itself really is a prophecy of Jesus. Mm-hmm. These are very miraculous, only God can do, okay? So when we go there, we're just purely facilitators, to facilitate people to meet Jesus, and Jesus does the work. Now, I want to say a little bit about restoration ministry and a freedom encounter, because we started 2001, and this year is 2016. Now, if we're still the same, then something's wrong. God has been sovereignly, really is breaking our lives and bringing new revelation. So if you have come to encounter or receive ministry years ago, we're not the same. We have to be different, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
If you remain the same, you never move,
absolutely.
Then you're dead,
yeah.
Right? So God is alive. So he doesn't want us to do the same old thing. So that's why we went the third time in 3 months, because God teaching us some new, powerful, wonderful, amazing yeah. breakthrough tools. That's what we need. We feel we have to. We owe to them,
yeah.
Right? So let me just give very simple testimonies. Like this one church leader, he struggled with rage and anger, and he's engaged. And so the fiancé said, would you please minister to him?
Of course.
Well, it's not only his anger, rage affecting her, but also the church, because he's one of the leaders. So he came, and like this, right? So we found out, make a long story short, what happened was, of course, he was being abused by his parents. But when he was 16, his father's alcoholic, gambling. So he took the money and gambled, and his mother thought he did it. So the mother slapped his face and said, you get out of the house. We don't want to see you evermore. So from 16, he's on his own and filled with anger, rage, and bitterness. Well, when he came, he said, I feel so, so grieved because my mom has stroke and she doesn't recognize me. And I'll never have a chance to clear myself. So, you know, Jesus came, Jesus healed him. In that the Lord took him back and Jesus opened his eyes, he saw Jesus. And Jesus said, but I love you. Back into the memory, Jesus was there with him. So what happened was, in the presence of Jesus, not only he was healed, he was giggling, he's laughing so hard, he kept on laughing. He said, Jesus made me laugh again. And he said, wow, you mean that's that simple? Well, let me trace back to this last time we went. This was when November I went. So this time when I went, I met him briefly. He told me. He said, I want you to know, I have a healing center in South Thailand. Now, that's someone who was totally enraged, and he saw the power of God healing in his life.
Yeah, there you go.
And he's being transformed. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, now, let me see. There's another person. Let me see how much time I have. Maybe 5 more minutes. I have actually 7 people I was going to share. This person used to be a very shy, timid, have rejection problems, quiet, timid, dare not to say anything, to do anything. Okay. Now, we went to Thailand twice, and she got healed, she got motivated, she was on fire, she still, you know, email us and send pictures. They call it app something. So we can receive the pictures and whatever, constantly telling us what God is doing through her life. She becomes so bold. She goes to Malaysia, she will share. She's the one go to Nepal, she will share. And she will go to Australia, she will go to New Zealand. She is sharing every place, and she's now become so bold. This pastor said, we like your ministry. Would you please come back and teach us again?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, simple, another third one. Well, three times we've been ministering to her. And, well, before she was so disillusioned and she just want to hide, be isolated, become a Buddhist nun. That's how bad it was. But God, thank the Lord, totally turned her life around. She became a believer, and then she received healing. Now, she's one of those, every place she goes, she will witness, and she will share healing. For example, this last time, they went down to the beach. They came, they text. They said, Mom, they call me Mom. Mom, we went down the beach just relax, but these people we saw, they say, hey, you guys want healing? Four people, one Muslim. And they said, yes, we do want healing. So she said, we prayed for them. Three received the Lord, four received healing. The one Muslim, it has not received the Lord. But can you imagine the boldness? And wherever she goes, whether in the taxi or on the tricycle, you know, that's a little taxi called tricycle. She will witness. She said, whoever is my driver, I caught them. They all received the Lord.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sorry to...
Yeah.
No, keep the mic, because I would let Steve begin. And you see, every one of us carry a story. And we heard John share what was happening. We just heard Guillermo in a broad picture of moving churches toward fulfillment and seeing Israel. Now we've heard Steve and Shirley connect. We've had these travels together, and you saw my little David, and now you're hearing specific individuals being touched by the sound and the message in Jesus Christ, and then they go out. So that's the gathering. That's the pulling the captives. That's the rebuilding. And I believe that every one of us are already intrinsically involved in heaven's sovereign strategy. And what I'd like the three of you to pray is that God would awaken that inside of us. He would just call it up, and we would start walking in it, just like those two ladies you just shared about. And if you could each share that, then we can receive that. Does that good? Let's do that.
Father God, in Zechariah 4:10, it says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work it begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. So, Lord, whatever ministry that we are in, God rejoices in it. And I pray, Father, that each of us will lay the plumb line, that Jesus is our standard in whatever we do. Whatever you have called us to do, Lord, Father, you know the future. You know our steps, and you order them, Lord. So I pray, Father, that you, each person here this evening, each person that is listening in, Father, would examine where they are. Examine what you have given to them in their hands, Lord. And Father, I just ask, Father, that you would do miraculous things in them. Lord, you would expand above and beyond far greater and exceedingly great, Father, all the things, Father, that you would have in store for them. I bless them in Jesus' name, Father, that they will see the fulfillment of God's kingdom in their life, Lord. Father, to its fullest extent, Lord.
Yeah.
Father, that as they open their lives, Father, as they open their hands, as they open their future, Father, to you, Lord, that you are going to fill it, oh God, with divine things from heaven, Lord. So I bless them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
Guillermo first.
Okay, Guillermo, go ahead. And on the internet, take hold of this too.
Father, in Jesus' name, give you praise, honor, and glory to you for all and everything. You are a God of power, authority, and dominion. We are coming to you and asking your mercy. You're asking your favor to asking that you are going to yes begins a prayer movement of Jesus in Jubilee and many, many, many churches in order for, you know, raise laborers, workers, Lord Jesus, to be able to proclaim this message about Israel and the Jews. How important I for your kingdom. Because the task is being given to the Gentile church is to bring Judah and the Israel back to Jesus again, Lord Jesus. And that perhaps won't happen in our time. But we have to begin to plant in seeds, Lord Jesus. And just make the churches to realize, Lord Jesus, how important is Israel. And have them to realize that everything is in the scriptures. It's Jesus who are the ones to have, you know, all these two people, the Israelites, the Jews, and the Gentile church, also at the end to come in together to be one. But again, it's the work that the Gentile church have to do, Lord Jesus. Well, this is a giant church. It's going to happen perhaps in another 50, 100, 200 years, Lord Jesus. But this is just a small beginning. I just express this message in the hearts of the churches that first they have to come in together, that they have to realize that they have to work for the kingdom, and they have to realize, Lord Jesus, that Israel is a very important for the kingdom of God and for all the events that they are going to be coming as time comes. We give your praise and honor to you, Lord. Yes. And Holy Spirit, so thank you for your help.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all for the glory of the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Yes, amen, amen.
Lord Jesus, will you release your spirit of revelation wisdom to us? Without your revelation, we don't know who we are. Without your revelation, we do not know our purpose. Will you shine your light so bright into the eyes of our heart? May them flooded with light so that each one of us will know the hope of our calling, the riches of the glory of our inheritance, which is you are our portion. You are our hope of glory. You are the great I am that I am inside each one of us. And also the exceedingly great power that's in each one of us. Lord Jesus, as we share today, will you work in each person that comes? Because not by a coincidence. You are a great miracle originator. No one is exception. Nothing is too difficult for you to miraculously heal us and set us free. And then you will propel us to the purpose that you create each one of us. As each person obey to do what you bid them to do, they will find out, yes, that is the purpose of my life. And that's why many of us have gone to mission field. We go back again and again and again. Because you prove yourself. You are real. You are miraculous. You are the divine healer. You're the divine deliverer. You're the divine savior. Nothing that's impossible. So we pray tonight, right now, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. That you begin to put your seed inside of us. We begin to have the fire, as we sang, begin to burn in each one of us our vein, so that we begin to know who you really are, who we really are, and why you put us on earth. So we thank you for the awakening. It has begun already. Awaken to our true identity. Awaken the true identity of the church, of our kingdom. Awaken who we are so that we all can rise up and be who you have predestined us to be. Thank you for Jubilee Church. Thank you, Father God. This place, a sanctuary, a birthing place. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that the message not just stay here, but is going to be, you will raise the people to hear.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
That you call, Lord. And we say, let nothing that you want to speak fall into the side, fall into the thistles, but fall into good ground.
Yes, Lord.
It is going to burst forth and bear fruit,
yes,
30, 60, 100-fold, to bring in your glorious kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to read, yeah, thank you guys. I want to read Isaiah 43. Tomorrow night, the Bible study, the ladies' Bible study, starts a new theme called Jonah. So if you're one of those reluctant emissaries that want to go the other direction and you need to have a redirection, it's a good Bible study to get to. And then the marriage, Saturday morning, we're going to do marriage from 10 to 12:30. And it's a part of the young Jordan Lee and Aubrey, who are about to get married in August, pulling together three couples. I believe it's going to be a seed to that sound, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, married marries, married people that are married, and married people that are really become married, and just something of a real sound of evangelism of the hearts. And the scripture in Isaiah 43, 5, 6, and 7 talks about God's determination to call back and call to himself everyone to whom he has formed and called. So we're not talking about random people. Every person on the planet has a destiny and a calling, even at this moment. So I want to declare this over us and we'll be gone. Thank you guys for being so patient. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up.
Yeah.
And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare that this promise would become a promise that we would proclaim, seeing it over our households, families, nations, and over the earth. And that your house, Father, will be filled. And all who you have called by your name, whom you formed for yourself, will be gathered to yourself. And let it be in a fresh wind that we've never yet seen or felt and experienced in our lives, individually, as families, and as a body. In Jesus' name I pray. Now bless and send us home and settle and build up and awaken our unique destiny and calling that we carry, and allow that fruitfulness to begin to break forth in our own lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being so patient.